You have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're just going to look at just a couple, three or four of these verses this evening. But I'm going to read the whole chapter. The Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. I want to look at that from that first verse this morning. He said, This evening I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. And I want to look at just a thought this evening, keeping the important things first. Keeping the important things first. 1 Timothy is the first of three letters written by Paul to young preachers. These letters, called the pastoral epistles, or Paul's attempt at instructing and encouraging these young men. In these letters, we find a great amount of material related to behavior in the church and instruction and worship. Paul wrote these letters under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit because Timothy and Titus were living in a society that was very secular and openly opposed to the preaching of salvation through Jesus Christ and the lifestyle of separation and holiness that accompanies that salvation. It was similar to the day and hour, I believe, in which we live in today. It was a day that was anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-church. In this type of society, many declare wrong right and right wrong. America is no longer a Christian nation, but has become pagan, a pagan nation where men live as if God were dead or irrelevant. We can complain all we want to about the situation we're in here in America, but this is where we are, and we have seen, and we have been placed here by the providence of Almighty God. As a result, we need to know how to live for God in a pagan world. Paul, in these verses, deals with one area where we can all impact our church. I'm talking about the area of prayer. Tonight, I want us to look at, together, the matter of Christ-like praying in a pagan world. And I want to look at three different divisions that we find here in these verses. And I was reading and studying this afternoon, and I'll get into the message in just a minute, but I don't even know where I could fit this in, but I wanted to read you something. I was reading in a commentary that was written by Oliver B. Green on 1 Timothy there in chapter 2. And I took a picture of this, and I think I can read it, but there in verse 3 where it begins, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God," and it's referring to how we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then he said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." And he in pinning this down, and I'm going to give you something at the end of all this, and I'm just going to read a couple of three pages here. But he said, God wants individual believers to so live that they daily give visible expression of a Christian frame of mind within. The behavior of a believer should display righteousness and holiness. Such living is right in the sight of God on the part of the individual and nation. God does not count great victories and conquests, great industry, great discoveries, great wealth, great achievements in science and outer space as the first in His program, although I believe He is interested in our advances in these things. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added. The lesson that our country so desperately needs to learn is that righteousness exalteth a nation. And there has never been a time in the history of our country when we so needed to read and reread and believe this verse from God's holy word. Many are bemoaning the increase in immoral delinquency. Crime is sweeping across our country and sin is rampant. This great nation is fast becoming a Sodom with its lust, drunkenness, and open sin. God's true ministers are disturbed and many political leaders are disturbed. The liberals are crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Those who are willing to face the facts know that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6:7. We sow to the flesh, we shall reap corruption. Many men in places of authority face this while others close their eyes and by their actions declare that things will work themselves out if we will just leave them alone, but this is not true. Where's the limit for the religious dilemma we're in? With the prevailing racial unrest, the scholastic and educational turmoil, have we gone too far? Can this nation be saved? The answer lies in the great revival old-time religion that will put the family altar back in the home and remove the cocktail shaker and the card table. We need to put the Word of God back in our churches and take out the book reports and current events. Put God-fearing, Spirit-filled ministers back in the pulpits instead of machine-made, denominationally manufactured religious puppets who are motivated by denominational leaders. If we could have old-fashioned revival brought down from heaven through intercessory prayer and see revival fires burn through the preaching of the Word of God, much of the unrest, turmoil, strife, and moral decay in our nation would clear up overnight. But education and money will not do it. We must remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. We must train up our children in the way they should go. We must seek God first until we as individuals and a nation find ourselves, things will get no better. Conditions will gradually worsen until the trumpet sounds and the true believers are caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then all hell will break loose here on earth. And I read that. That sounds like today, don't it? That sounds like it was written yesterday just about, don't it? This book was copyrighted in 1964 by Oliver B. Green. The first printing was 1964. There was 10,000 copies. This has already been written nearly 50 years ago. And it sounds like the latest news that what we all been talking about, the way the situation and the things in our land, in our churches, in our homes. Our homes are in turmoil. I mean, it all stems from the home where our situation is. People having children that has no morals, that has no clue about God, about spiritual matters. And until we get back to shaping our homes and our families and our churches, hey, we can't expect things to get no better. And I believe that we as Christians, we would have to admit that we fail so much in this matter of praying. In this matter of praying. He said, Paul writing to Timothy here, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I want to look at that simple thought this evening on keeping the important things first. Keeping the important things first. I'm afraid we've got the cart before the horse. I mean, we're trying to have plans and programs. Hey, we're not praying anymore. We used to meet before services in a prayer room. I've been in prayer rooms all of my life and before service, praying that God would move, that God would bless, hey, that God would show up in our services, hey, that the man of God would be anointed. He'd have the message for the hour. And men had already understood not just coming to the prayer room to pray for our services, hey, but men and women had already spent time at home in prayer. But I'm afraid that we've got lax in our prayer life in this day that we're living in, and we're not seeing much happen. I mean, let's just be honest. We're not seeing much happen. We see a lot of churches that got some programs. We see church services going on. Hey, we see somebody baptized every once in a while in other people's services. But in reality, we see that things are just progressing worse and worse. The morality of this nation has got to the point in place, hey, where we're promoting transgenderism for our children. And people are trying to seemingly think that that's okay. Instead of trying to put God in them kids, we've tried to take God out of our schools. We've tried to take God out of everywhere where those children are influenced from a day-to-day basis. And we got to get back to praying. We got to get back to keeping the main thing the main thing. And I believe if we don't get back to praying and seeking God and seeking God's direction, I'm afraid that we're not going to see anything happen in this land. Well, I know we're not going to see anything happen because I remember back years ago, men that would pray. I mentioned a man in our community. I've heard him several times as a lad of a boy praying, and you could hear his voice up and down the highway there along Harmony Church Road. And he was praying to God and crying out to God. Others I've heard. I've heard my daddy tell about Gordon Hunt over in picking fodder in the cornfield. And he was coming along from school, and Brother Gordon was standing with two hands full, filled with fodder, and he was praying to the God of glory. And then when he got through praying, he just went back to picking fodder. Went back to doing the same thing. He was just out there by himself, didn't know there was any little boys watching him, didn't know that anyone was hearing him. Men of God used to pray and they would seek God. And I remember in the early days back in 93 when God began to move upon my heart and began to try to deal with my heart about things that I believe and why I believe those things and wanting to get closer to God. I remember getting in the secret place and praying and seeking God in the middle of the night a lot of times. But we've gotten away from that. We don't pray like we should. And then we come to church and we're not expecting anything to happen. Hey, we're not expecting visitors to show up. Hey, when in reality we've spent our whole week living for ourselves, doing the things that we enjoy, and trying to get the fulfillment of our flesh instead of trying to find the mind and the heart of God in our lives. So we need to get back to that point of keeping the important things first. And the important thing is praying, first of all. Hey, we'll never be the Christian that God wants us to be until we've got a prayer life. Until we get off our telephones and get in the prayer closet, get in a secret place, and begin to cry out to God. As Brother Willard used to say, we need to get off of Facebook and get our face in the book. And when we begin to read the Bible, we begin to pray, we begin to seek God's direction for our lives, then I believe, and only then will we see God move. And we need revival. We need revival like never before. So we see in verse 1 and 2, we see God's demands. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hey, you know why we're not living a quiet and peaceable life is because we've not prayed. I mean, we got a bunch of people up in Washington that needs our prayers. Hey, we need to pray that God will change their hearts or remove them from the positions they're in. If there's ever been a time that we need to respond to the God's demand, it's the day and hour that we're living in. We see, first of all, under God's demand, we see the elevation of prayer. He said, first of all, hey, Paul tells us our first priority is that of prayer. It seems, though, that we have time for every pursuit, every activity, everything, except that which is deemed most important in our life, and that's prayer. It used to be a time when people prayed for things. They prayed for their nation. They prayed. Hey, when we're in war, people are praying, hey, that God will move and bless our land. Hey, we're praying that God will get us through those times of hardship and things that come our way. It used to be that people believed that there was power in prayer. Hey, we don't much think there's much need to pray anymore, that whatever will be. Que sera, sera. But let me tell you, if it's ever been a time, hey, that we need to pray, I believe it's the day and hour that we're living in. That ought to be our first priority, is that matter of prayer. So we see the power of prayer. Where does the power of prayer come from? I believe it comes, number one, hey, God has promised to hear prayer. God has promised that He would hear our prayer. I mean, if you're a believer, if you're saved by the grace of God, hey, we have the promise that the God of heaven, hey, will answer our prayer. If we'll ask anything according to His will, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, hey, this ought to be a verse that every one of us memorize. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Hey, that's a promise way back in the Old Testament that God gave Jeremiah. He told him, said, if you'll call on me, he said, that I will hear thee and I'll show you great and mighty things. I still believe that we can see great and mighty things today. I just believe that everybody's got so lax in our prayer life, hey, when we do pray, hey, we're not expecting God to do nothing. We're not really expecting Him to answer prayer. Hey, but let me say, hey, God has promised to hear prayer. That's why there's power in prayer. Hey, because the one that can and the one that can do something is always attentive to the cries of His children. God has promised to hear prayer. God has promised to answer prayer. John 6:23, Jesus said, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. So we have the promise to hear prayer, and we have the promise to answer our prayer. I'm glad that we got a God in heaven that cares. Hey, God cares what we're going through. Hey, there are several occasions that that things began to take place on this earth that got God's attention. Hey, what was going on in Noah's day got God's attention. Hey, what was going on in the days of the Tower of Babel, I don't know what they were building, but they had the idea that they could build a tower up to heaven, and it got God's attention to the point that He came down and confounded their language and scattered them abroad. And I believe we're getting God's attention today. Sodom and Gomorrah got God's attention. And we see what happened. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire. And I believe that today, hey, that God is being attentive to what's going on this earth. And when we see all these things that are taking place that we never thought would, hey, and we begin to cry out to God, hey, I believe that God is a God that will hear the prayers of His children if we're right with Him. God's promised to answer prayer. Do we really expect Him to answer our prayer? Have we really prayed for our loved ones, lost loved ones, believing that God not only will, hey, but He can? That He not only can, but He will save their souls? God's promised to answer prayer. Then next we see prayer is the privilege and power of every believer. Prayer is a privilege. It's a privilege that we can pray. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, hey, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So we see that prayer is a privilege that we need to exercise on a daily basis. And if there's ever been a time that we need to exercise that privilege of prayer, it's today in which we're living in. So we see not only the elevation of prayer, first of all, but then we see the elements of prayer. Paul lists four elements that should be included in all of our praying. Four elements of prayer. Number one is supplication. Supplication, making requests, sharing our heartfelt needs with God. Being able to come boldly to the throne of grace and petition Him for our needs. A lot of times we try to take care of our own self and our own need. Hey, when all we need to do is to pray and seek God's will and make our supplications to Him, and if God sees fit to answer our prayer, He'll answer our prayer. It may not be the way we want Him to answer it, hey, but He'll answer it the way it should be answered for our needs, our personal needs, our spiritual needs, our children's needs, our church's needs, our country's needs. Hey, we need to make supplication to God and petitions unto Him and allow Him to work on our behalf. The elements of prayer. Number one, supplication, making requests. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Hey, you got a need this evening? Hey, pray to God. Make petition to Him. Number two, prayers. He said there, again, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications and prayers." Prayers. That word refers to the act of worship that should accompany prayer. Hey, when we pray, we're literally in the presence of God and we're crying out to God. Hey, we're worshiping Him in the Spirit and we're praying the prayers unto Him. That's our way of getting a hold of Him. That's our way of worshiping Him in our private time is through the prayers. When you get in the prayer closet and you begin to pray, those prayers on a regular basis, that is how we worship. That's how we connect with God in the spiritual realm. Then the next is intercessions. That word means to fall in with. It refers to Christians taking the needs of others before the Lord. Our praying should not just be all selfish for our needs. Hey, but there needs to be intercessions where we pray for others. Wednesday night we come in here and we make mention of different ones, their needs, their health needs, and spiritual needs sometimes. And we should intercede for one another. We should intercede for our government. We should intercede for our politicians. They've got a tough job to do, and we need to pray and intercede for them that God would move in their lives. And just like I said a while ago, pray that God will change their lives first of all, that God will get them in the right direction. And if they don't get in the right direction, pray that God will move them out of that position. Supplications, prayers, intercessions. And then fourthly, the giving of thanks. When we draw near to God in prayer, our hearts should be filled with gratitude. Hey, for all that He is and all that He has done and all that He's doing and all that He will do on our behalf. Thanksgiving should not be tacked on the end of our prayers, but it should be a major ingredient in every prayer that we pray. Hey, we need to learn to pray. We need to learn to cry out to God, to call out to God, hey, to make supplications, intercessions, the giving of thanks, and to offer up prayers in fellowship with Him on a regular basis, not just sporadically. Most of the time we just pray over our food and we go on our way and we never really give thoughts to what we're praying about. Hey, we need to be specific
specific about our praying. Not just in general, but we need to be specific. Hey, we ought to be specific about the thanks that we're giving. Hey, God works in your life. He does something for you. He meets a need that you have in your life. Hey, we ought to give Him thanks and praise for it. So many times we take it in stride and we just go our way and we never offer up any thanksgiving for what God's already done. We just, Lord, give me something else. Lord, I need this in my life. I really do need this, and in reality, you really don't need it. What we need to do is we need to draw closer to God. Hey, we need to be the kind of Christian that Paul is writing about here in this passage of Scripture. That Christian, hey, that will pray not sporadically but on a regular basis and keep the important things first. I think prayer ought to be the first thing we do before we start our day. We ought to pray that God will use us that day. And I've said this a lot of times and many times here lately. We ought to pray that God would put somebody in our path that we could witness to. Hey, that's what we are. We're ambassadors. We're witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to see these pews filled, hey, we need to pray that God will put people in our path, hey, that we can witness to, that we can win to God, hey, that we can give them the plan of salvation, get them in church, and then take them under our wing and disciple them. That's how you build a church. I'm not a church builder, I don't think. I admire these guys that goes off into another place and they start a church in their living room or whatever. Hey, they give themselves to that and they go in. And that's where we're at, friend, though. Hey, we're like a church planter tonight. Hey, we don't have nobody much. We got a core of people, hey, that we could build this church and with God's help and through God if we would pray like we should. Pray about the matter. Instead of coming in here, well, you know, there ain't nobody here. Well, why ain't there nobody here? What are we doing? Hey, why do we want somebody else to come in? Hey, do we want somebody else to come in that'll do it? Or do we want somebody else to come in that we can worship with and we can encourage and that we can see others? Hey, you witness people long enough and you win somebody one of these days, hey, God will give us a Bear Whatley to set in the house of God. I'm afraid a lot of times we pray, we really don't want to see God fill up a church. Hey, we've got good facilities. We don't owe nothing. We've got money in the bank. We've done some things here lately and got some money. We can do some other things. Hey, but what are we doing spiritually for ourselves and for others? And what are we doing in our outreach and trying to win people to God? And a lot of it is on me, but it ain't all on me. A lot of it's on me, but it ain't all on me. We're all in this together. We are a team. Well, I'm the shepherd. You're the sheep, and sheep beget sheep. And the shepherd watches over the sheep, and the shepherd goes after the sheep. And the shepherd ought to be a soul winner, just like a person that's sitting in the pews. But where is our prayer life? What are we doing? Are we making supplications to God? Are we interceding really like we should for our lost loved ones? Hey, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take God to move sinners today. But He uses us to get out there to reach them. We're living in a cold time as far as spiritual things go. And I'm not even going to say religious things because a lot of people are religious, but I mean real spiritual things. People don't want nothing to do with spiritual things. Real spiritual things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, very familiar passage, and be not drunk with wine wherein it says, but be filled with the Spirit. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Hey, we see this afternoon, if there's ever been a time, hey, that we need to pray and seek God, give Him thanks. Hey, we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, it's the day and hour that we're living in. Hey, you can't go out there not filled with the Holy Ghost and expect God to use you. Not only we see the elevation of prayer and the elements of prayer, but then we see the extent of prayer. The extent of prayer. The Bible tells us we're to pray for all men. So who are we to pray for? We're to pray for everyone. He said here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That tells us that there's no one on the face of the earth that we shouldn't pray for. And that there's no man beyond the influence of godly prayer. Hey, there's no man that's beyond a God through someone praying for him that God can't reach. I remember this years ago. Brother Edgar Thomas, he said he didn't believe that there was nobody that ever got saved that somebody didn't pray for. And that stuck with me. He didn't believe that there was no one that had ever gotten saved that someone hadn't prayed for. So we see the extent of prayer. And then, lastly there, we see the ends of prayer. When we pray, as we should, what we should expect is to be filled with a quietness externally and peacefulness internally. That should produce in us lives of godliness and purity as we go through this life. So we see God's demands, number one. Then number two, we see God's delight, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. When we pray, I believe after this manner, it pleases God and is good in His sight. It pleases God when we pray after this manner. When we pray for all men, when we fulfill verses 1 and verses 2, I believe that pleases God and it's good in His sight. It delights God, I believe, when we pray. Hey, God's honored when His people pray as they should. God's honored when people pray as they should. It reveals faith on our part and it affords God an opportunity to demonstrate His power in our lives. Through us and in our lives. Hey, we need the power of God in our lives. We don't need to cow down to this system and everything that's going on. Hey, we need the power of God and we need to go out there in the power of God's might instead of our might. That's why it takes the filling of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, we won't be ashamed. We won't be shy. Hey, we'll be quick and bold to speak up to those that are dying and going to hell. So we see when we pray after this merit pleases God. Hey, we see, number two, God is honored when His people pray as they should. And then number three, we see God is more honored by our prayers than He is by our protests. When we protest and we complain about everything, hey, that's going on, hey, God is more honored by our prayers than He is our protest. And then number four, we see Christians pray because they want to please God who saved them from their sin. I believe that pleases the Lord when we pray like we should. So we see God's demands, God's delight, but then we see God's desire. Verse 4. God's ultimate desire is to see all men saved. I wonder what the Calvinist thinks about that verse. It said, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? Hey, God never designed anyone to go to hell. He never chose this one and that one. He chose us in Christ. He gave us a will. He gave us the ability to choose the Lord Jesus as our Savior. If he hadn't, we would be a machine instead of a man. But I'm glad that God put a desire in our heart to seek God. And when we hear the gospel, we see our lost condition and we respond to the preaching of the gospel. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men. When I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. When the preaching of the cross and the preaching of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is preached, it draws men to a Savior that loved them that much and gave His life for them. So we see God's desire, God's ultimate desire to see all men saved, not just a few. He wants all men to be saved, but they'll not all be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Well, what does that mean? It means that He wants all men to repent and turn to Christ for their Savior, as their Savior. His means of reaching those He wants to save are those He has already saved. Hey, you and I that are saved, He uses us to reach those that are lost. And if there's ever been a day that we need to reach out to our friends, our family, and those that we come into contact with, and those that we don't even know, all men. It's God's desire that all men be saved. We're to hate sin, but always love the sinner. Sometimes we get that turned around. We hate the sinner. We hate the sinner. I mean, they're just doing what comes natural to it. Hey, without the grace of God, you and I'd be out there doing some of the same thing. Hey, we might not be doing what some of them are doing. We'd be doing what others of them are doing. We love them best by praying for them and lovingly share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. When we get to that point where we see men as souls that are lost and on their way to hell. And that's going to be brought about, I believe, by praying the way that we should. Keeping the important thing first in our life. And I believe Paul, he was a man of prayer. I preached a series one time at Zion Hill on the prayers of Paul. And we look, there's several places in the Word of God where Paul's prayers are pinned down. Paul was a praying man, and he was teaching young Timothy and Titus. If you go read about Titus, he was teaching those young men to follow his example in being prayer warriors. And if there's ever been a time that we need to pray, I believe it's today. That verse back there on the wall, if my people, and that may be an Old Testament verse, but I'm going to tell you, hey, we that are saved are His people. And He said, and it's still just as pertinent, I believe, today as when it was wrote down, if my people, which are called by my name, we're Christians. The Bible said they were first called Christians at Antioch. They were using that for a derogatory statement. It meant little Christ because they were like Christ. And they give them that name trying to be derogatory. Hey, but it stuck with them. And we've been stuck with that name as a Christian all these years. And we're called by the name of Christ. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's our problem right there. We have a problem humbling ourselves. It's pretty humbling when you get alone somewheres and there ain't nobody around and you're talking to somebody that you can't see. If not careful, we'll be ashamed. We'll be ashamed somebody's going to catch us in a secret place. People used to go by, they was telling one time going by Brother Sammy's house and went to see him and they was in the area and they knocked on the door and they could hear him in the background. Miss Jimmy come to the door and said, "Boys, he's praying. I don't know how long he'll be." He was a prayer warrior. He traveled up and down this road. Everywhere he went, he prayed every morning. He'd get along with God. He'd get in the secret place and he would cry out to God. He'd pray for individuals. He'd pray for revivals. He'd pray for service. When he died, I promise you, until he got the point place where he couldn't pray, he was praying that God would send revival. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be praying for revival. That God would move among us. That God would come down and visit us one more time. Boy, I'd like to see a real revival again. I'd like to just see a touch of revival. If there's ever been a time that we need reviving, our young people need to be revived. I don't care how good of young people we got, they need reviving. And there's some good young people that's serving God and being taught in churches across this land. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, our heart, through revival, God moving in our lives. Of all the weapons that we have at our disposal in these times, prayer is the most effective in changing the world that's around us. James chapter 5, verse 16 said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." It said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Hey, that's why it's so important to be right with God. That's why it's so important to be walking with Him, to have our sin confessed. That's why we need to be specific. I mean, you know, when you get sin in your life, it don't matter what it is, hey, spell it out to God what it is. Hey, if we want God to hear it, hey, we don't need to just be praying in general. Hey, if people are lost, if people's in sin, hey, we don't need to give all the details. Hey, but we need to be specific about what their need is. God is a God of specific. And when you pray, Brother Charles, we used to laugh about him. Every time he'd pray, he'd get to the end and said, "Lord, forgive me of my many, many sins." Well, if we got many, many sins, we need to confess them sins. We need to confess what they are. Say, "Lord, forgive me for backbiting. Lord, forgive me for gossiping. Lord, forgive me for going to that place that I shouldn't have went. Forgive me, Lord, for letting that cuss word fly out of my mouth." Confess it. Identify it. Someone said, "Get you a piece of paper and write it down. You see it, then you're not as apt to do it again." "Lord, forgive me of that evil thoughts that I've had. Lord, help me to put them behind me. Lord, give me grace to forsake these things. Lord, forgive me for not witnessing to that individual." Have you ever talked to someone and get away from them and you felt impressed that you should have mentioned Jesus to them and you didn't? Boy, I've done it a lot of times. Hey, if you ever feel like you need to go see somebody, you better go see them. I've done that on several occasions, and I missed that opportunity. Next thing I know, they were dead. We need to be faithful in this matter of praying. Prayer can change things this evening. So, keeping the important things first. And the first thing Paul told Timothy here, he said, "I exhort there." Not only Timothy, he's talking to the church too here. He said, "I exhort, I encourage you, I implore you, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." That's why Jesus said over, "Pray for those that despitefully use you." We're to even pray for our enemies. Instead of responding to them and trying to set them straight, that's our thing. We think we have the right to set everyone straight that does us wrong. That ain't what the Bible said. He said, "Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for your enemies. Pray that God will handle it. Pray for them godless politicians that we have up there. Pray, first of all, hey, God, get a hold of their hearts, save them. Lord, there's vile people in positions of authority in our land. Lord, we'd like to see a move of God. Well, we had a, I don't know what they're doing. We had a missionary that they're wanting to go to Capitol Hill. I forget. Darrell sent me the thing the other day. I thought we ought to all be praying for that bunch up there. We can't all go, but we can all pray for them. If we'd all pray for them, it'd probably be better than all of us going or anybody going, because they're probably not going to hear anyway. You say, well, that's a negative attitude. Well, they're probably not, because they're too prideful. They think they've got all the answers for it. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, if a big group of Christians, if all of us banded together and we began to pray and cry out to God, hey, it might be just like it was down there in the land of Egypt when they began to afflict those Israelites. They all began to cry out to God. Hey, it got God's attention and He sent a deliverer. And He drowned that bunch over there in the Red Sea when they pursued them. We need to pray that God will move in our land. That song, God Bless America. God Bless America again. Give us some individuals that will stand up. You've seen what happened when Trump started standing up against that bunch of politicians. The kind of opposition he got. If one of them could be saved, it would be worth sending somebody up there too. I agree with that. But I'm going to tell you what's needed. We need to pray. We need to pray for kings that's in authority. We need to pray that God will give them wisdom, that God will use them. Hey, He's used lost people before. That we can live a peaceable and quiet life. That's what He desires for us to be able to do. And that's why we need to pray for them. We need to pray for those kings that are in authority. Say, pray that the Lord will touch their heart and use them and help them to make the right decisions. And He can. The Bible said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers He turneth it whithersoever He will. He can turn those politicians the way He wants them to be turned. Now, whether they trust Christ or not, it's up to them. They're going to have to make that choice, and a lot of them will tell you they're Christian. I seen something about a Christian transgender the other day. That's how naive people are and how bad off they are. The transgender can be a Christian, but they're going to have to turn from their wicked ways. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And you're going over there a little way, and He said He created man out of the dust of the earth. He took a rib and created woman. He didn't create no transgender. You don't choose what you want to be. You are what God chose you to be. So we need to pray. We need to pray, and we need to pray, and we need to pray. And when I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Because I don't pray like I should, and I haven't prayed like I should. And we just need to band together and pray that the Lord will fill this house. Hey, that we'll see souls saved in this remainder of this year that's before us. Pray that God would move, that God would send revival. That we could do more than we've ever done. Hey, that we can support more missions. That we can get the gospel out more places than we've ever got it out. And that we would pray that God would let us win somebody. If you ain't never won nobody, Lord, you ought to pray the Lord will give you someone to win to Him. No, I'm not talking about getting a profession out of somebody. I'm talking about giving them the gospel. And pray that the Holy Ghost would convict their heart. The Bible says in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me. Draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. Hey, it takes the drawing power of the Holy Ghost. Hey, but when God is working on one end and you're working on the other end, it's pretty good chance that someone, somewhere, is going to get saved. We just need to pray for God's direction and God's leadership. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Lord, we thank you for these passages of Scripture of exhortation. Lord, as Paul was giving Timothy here about praying and making supplication, praying for all men. Lord, help us to really get a hold of the fact that we need to pray. Lord, we need to pray like never before. Lord, we need revival. We need a revival of praying in our land. Lord, I pray that you'll help it to begin with us here at Open Door. Help us to get a hold of the reality of prayer and the effectiveness of prayer and what prayer can do in our lives and the lives of others that we come into contact with. Lord, help us to pray, God, that for our leaders that are in authority, God, that they'll be led of you, Lord, and God, that you would control them. And Lord, if they don't get on board, Lord, remove them from the office. Help us to be faithful in these matters of supplication for our needs. Lord, we need you here in this place. Lord, we need folks to come in and be a part of this church. Lord, help us to do our part in reaching those out there. Not just expect you to just send them in, Lord, without us doing anything. Lord, we realize we need to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. Help us now as we go our separate ways. Help us as we go out into this world, Lord, to not forget, Lord, but just to look for those opportunities that you placed before us. And God, I pray your will be done in our lives. We love you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen.